Well, we're on our last of the series, In Breaking series. This is our last of the Advent series, and we're going to be talking today about beyond Christmas. Like, how do we take this thing of God's In Breaking and have it continue on through 2018? Isn't that hard to say? 2018, that seems odd. So I will be filling out things wrong for about 2 or 3 months, and then I'll switch it over to 2018 and beyond. And what I want to say in that is that we've talked about his hope and his peace and his love and his joy, breaking into his presence as we've gone through Advent. And we just want to say, how do we keep that going? How do we allow the inbreaking of the kingdom to happen throughout our life? And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that. The format's going to be, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about plans, okay? What God thinks about plans, what you think about plans, how do we find the right plan for our life and what that means. And then after we kind of get that established, we're going to go into a story that both, kind of an imagery that both Peter and Paul talk about with this whole thing of God, Jesus being the cornerstone. And we're going to take that in. And then we're going to close with three goals that I believe that every person should have for 2018. All right? So that's going to be the format. And I want to just start with this place of plans. How do you guys like, do you guys like plans? Here's a good question for you. Would you describe yourself as a planner or a winger? A winger is a technical term for those who wing things, all right? Are you a winger? Who's a winger? Raise your hand. Who's a planner? Detail plan. Who's somewhere in between the two, right? And we really are that spot. Now, you planners are certain that your way is right. You wingers are certain that these planners are missing life. But the reality of it is that we all are actually making plans. We are people who make plans. The place is that what we don't, you know, at this time of year, we always think about resolutions and all that. Everybody has different responses to that. Please do not, I don't want that. I'm all about it. I hate those things. But what I'm kind of neutral in that area. But what I do believe is that you should have a chance. I'm all about people listening to God for direction for 2018 and choosing to respond in decisions towards the things that he's telling them, right? And that's what I'm talking about when I think of a plan, you know. And I know some people will look at that differently. You may be a planner, you may be a winger, but quite honestly, all of you, even those people say, no, I don't have a plan. No, that's your plan. You know, you're planning not to have a plan. There's something about humans that they just plan. It's that we're in God's image. He's a planner as well. He planned out the universe. He does a pretty good job at that. We may not do it quite as good, but we all have a tendency of thinking, this is where I want to go, and I'm going to start making decisions towards that, all right? And the thing I'd say about this is a quote I love. When we make our plans, sometimes we have to realize that we need to get more specific on our plans. Lily Tomlin says this, I've always wanted to be someone, but now I've realized I should have been more specific. And I think that kind of captures this. Like, I want to be significant, but I'm not sure what that means, right? All of us want to have something of our life to say, this counted, right? This is why I was here on this earth. I want to see this. But many times we don't really know what that means. And that's where God comes in, can help us in that process. Now, the idea of plan, that may be an unappealing term for you, especially you wingers, but really to understand what plan is, it's really just an intention or decision about what one is going to do. That's a plan. So if you want something, you want to go towards something, this plan is this place that you make intentional decisions towards the things that you want. That's a plan. Now, so what is it, you know, plans, if you realize, they're really complicated sometimes because they have, planning involves so many different things. Goals and vision involve so many different things. You know, we have places of desires and hopes and I don't want to be that, I want to be this. I don't want to do that again. I want this to change in my life. I should do this, I shouldn't do that. You know, I have certain expectations of what it should be like. It's all mixed together, right? And we have all these things kind of going on in our minds as we're trying to figure out planning. But really, simplifying it, it's really taking steps towards what you desire. Concrete choices and decisions, intentionally taking steps towards it. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about a plan, right? Now, God is actually, he loves a good plan, right? And he always warns us about bad plans, but he also loves a good plan. The reason he warns us about bad plans is not because he doesn't like plans, he just likes good plans, all right? And so, as we think about this place of intention, a couple things I'd say that are helpful. This really is a prayer that King David had in Psalms, and I think it really reflects God's heart, that he, God, give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. To me, that summarizes what God desires for us. He wants us to align with him and have his desires in us, but as those desires become our own, we begin making a plan and we succeed in that plan. And when that happens, God says, yeah, right? He loves a good plan. Now, the thing about it, though, is a good plan is also this place in which that, you know, there's good ways of making plans and there's bad ways of making plans. So there's Proverbs and Psalms tell you a lot about helpful tips on making your plans if you want to look those things up. But one of them is just that the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely haste leads to poverty. So regardless of your plan, what you learn is if no matter what the plan is, even good or bad, diligence, you know, and decisiveness and choosing towards that, it'll take you to the end goal, right? And that means you have profit. But if you are somebody who just, you know, does things in haste, that's not a good way of planning, right? And you can lead to poverty. So there's, and it gives things about structures about, you know, like make sure there's counsel in your plans. There's lots of those kind of things to help plans go well. But what's interesting really is these last two is that you can actually make a plan and be really successful in the plan that you have and it being a bad plan. You understand? That's important to understand, especially because I don't know what it is about us Americans, but we just love people who are diligent about plans, who decide, I am going to do that, and they dedicate their entire life to it. And they have this, you know, they've created this electronic product, or they've created, you know, Fortune 500 company, or they've made it to the Hall of Fame, or they're the only ones that do this, or they're now in stardom and fame. We love those people. We do interviews on them. We put them on magazines. Because why? Because we respect this part of them. They have a really diligent, they have something they're going for, right? And they dedicate themselves and they make choices towards it. And we say that was successful. But quite honestly, that doesn't determine success. And in fact, it talks about this, is that human plans, the Lord knows all human plans, he knows that they are futile. The plans that we just come up on our own, they may have something that we move towards, but internally, at the end of the day, they're futile. Psalm 146 says it this way. It says, when their spirits depart, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Okay, here's what that means. You've planned it, you've executed it, you've poured yourself into it. And if at the end of the day, in the point that you die, and that plan dies with you, it was a bad plan. It was futile. You wasted your life on something that didn't last. All right? Now, what I find is that this whole thing of God's plan for us is not something that we, you know, create or come up with. It's something that we find. And this is real important because we're in a culture that we're people who set our own destiny. We choose what we want and we go after it. And what Scripture says, if you do that, it's going to be a human plan. And you're going to find that even if you're successful in accomplishing it, it's not going to bring the fulfillment you need, right? Now, here's a really good test for a good plan. A good plan means this. At the end of 2018... you're getting ready for open your Christmas present. You got 5 days left, and you realize you're going to die. Positively, we got 5 days to think about it. Here's a good plan: whatever you invested in for that last year, are you glad or happy that you did that? That will tell you if it's a good plan or not. That really will tell you. And the thing about it is, if you understand, oh, I'm so glad I poured in that. It's a good plan. But if you're saying, no, and if that plan doesn't take you into the future of heaven and eternity, and it's a streamline through that, it's a bad plan, regardless of how you're cheered on for it, for what accomplishments you've made on this earth. It dies with you, right? And so What a good plan is what it's just talking about here. It's something that we find, it's something we don't come up with, it's something we find that God already has for us. Jeremiah says, and now I want you to take this, and you've probably heard these verses before. These are speaking God to you. He's saying this to you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Paul puts it this way. Now to him who is able to do unmeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us. Now that's a good plan when it feels that way. When you realize that this was God's plan, and it's something that you find, it's not something you create, right? Now, what I wanted to do is I want to kind of move into this place of understanding of this about the plans, is that you can't accomplish God's plans independent of him. And you can't figure out what the plans are, and you can't accomplish them. This is real important to know, because what happens is this spot that these verses are kind of confusing when you read verses about the plans. Like, am I supposed to go for my desires or God's desires? It keeps jumping back and forth in Scripture. Like, desires of your heart, and God will do them, and then my desires. And the reality is that is really true to what God is doing here. He's basically saying that the way we do it is we have our plans, and we try our best to have our plans align with him and to have his plans in our hearts. But there's a point in which that we don't completely still understand his plans until he comes along with us. We only understand parts of the blueprint. Look at these verses. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Okay. Many are the plans in a person's hearts. Now, we're just constantly thinking, I want to do this. I want to do that. You guys have that? They can all be good stuff. I want to do that. We have lots of plans in a person's hearts. But it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And what you see in these verses is this thing about what we're to do with our plans is we're not supposed to just shove our desires down. We're supposed to take our desires. This is what I love, and we go to God, but here's what we want more than our desires. We want his plan. And we don't know the difference quite sometimes between our plan and his plan, right? We don't know if it sounds like a good desire, but we're not sure. And so what we best do is we go to God and we say, I want your plan. And he will help us because he's the architect. He's the one that has the plans for us, and he will show us some of his plans for us. But what's interesting, you know, what I've been praying for God to do is just give me the blueprints and let me go, right? Just tell me what I'm supposed to do, you know? And he never does that because he gives me just enough to begin the process, and I'm needing him now. Like, what do I do now? That's exactly what he wants. He doesn't disclose it all, but he tells you enough. And so what this is talking about is, how do you know that you're going to hit God's plans? Do you have to figure them out perfectly? No. You just commit to the Lord whatever you do, and then he'll establish his own plans. You can have your plans, but he'll direct your steps. You know, you can be a spot where you have your purposes, but his purposes will prevail. And you say, I welcome that. But you often don't know that at the beginning, because God will never allow his plans to be found or accomplished without being independent of him, all right? So that helps us in the area of plans. So what I want to do is I want to move into some texts that describe what I believe is going to help us in this place of knowing what the principles that God wants to show us, all right? And so I want to go through this text, and I want to talk about this whole thing of what three goals can we have for 2018 based out of this text that are going to be universal for everybody here. Here's what I mean by that. Plans are something that we search for, but much of the plan is already laid out in Scripture. So we have a foundation already. Let me put it this way. Let's say someone says, I want a garden. I want to plant a garden. Now, that can mean a lot of things. It can look a lot different. I like vegetables. I like flowers. I like fruit. I like whatever that garden is. I like it this way. I want to look that way. There may be a particular way that God wants you to do that garden, how it look uniquely designed for you. But what I can say is you also, God has made it really clear of in nature of how a garden grows. So if you say, I want a garden, and then you go down into the basement where there's no windows, and you scatter the seed on the cement, and you're disappointed that your plan failed, it's because you didn't understand. God had already made that clear. If you're going to plant a garden, regardless of how that garden may look, you always need dirt, water, and sunshine, right? Those components are going to be essential. And so what I believe is, as we go through this story I'm about to tell, it'll show us something that every one of us can say, yes, that's part of my plan for 2018 and beyond, all right? Now, the story we're going to talk about is this Jesus being the cornerstone. Now, in Psalms 118, there's a prophecy about Jesus, and they said he will become the cornerstone. The stone that everybody else rejected ends up becoming the central cornerstone upon which everything is built. And when Jesus came on the scene, he referred to himself as the cornerstone. And now what we're going to do is, Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus, and here's what he says about Jesus and being the cornerstone. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Both is speaking of the Gentiles and the Jews. It's open to everyone. Consequently, there are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises and becomes a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. For Jesus is the one who referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that the builders reject has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. Now, Peter puts it this way, again, giving you the same image. Now, imagine, kind of, in your mind, imagine the kind of this visual image of what's happening with Jesus as the cornerstone. We, like newborn babes, must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. How do we grow in the full experience of salvation? We cry out for his nourishment. Now that you have had the taste of the Lord's kindness, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual house. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust in him recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he, the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall, they stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received mercy. Now, when we look at that, there's a lot in there. But one of the things that as we go through is understanding in that day, when a structure was built, they didn't have bricks pumped out in a factory, right? They cut the stone, and it would be every stone would be slightly different shaped, you know? And the builder would need to place the stones in unique places to have them fit. But the way they did it is they worked off a cornerstone, and the cornerstone was the representation of the whole building. It was perfect in shape, and everything had to be aligned to that, and the perfection of the cornerstone created the building in the way it should be from the foundation on, right? And so the builder would do that. Now, this kind of wild imagery that Paul and Peter are talking about is saying, okay, you kind of understand how a structure is built, and what he's saying here is that, first off, the structure starts with people who are being called towards God, and they're crying out, craving spiritual growth, right? They're craving to fully experience the salvation. And so that's the starting point. And here's how it looks. It's that Christ is now a living stone in this picture. And you and I are living stones as well. So imagine yourself as a living, if you've never done that before, it's very interesting. You're a living stone. And Jesus is truly the cornerstone and the builder. And what he's drawing people, God's drawing people to himself. And they're going to this cornerstone, and they come to him, these living stones, and they begin aligning themselves with this perfect cornerstone, all right, and trusting themselves to it. And in that spot, what happens is all these places get placed, all these people get placed in the right spot, and there's this temple that's being built, right? So the understanding is this temple is a temple that is not made out of stone, but made out of people, right? All connected together, all aligned to this cornerstone. And so as you look at that, you start realizing the way it started is Jesus is a cornerstone, and there's this foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and then on that, this is being built, right? And this is the very stone that some people rejected and stumbled over, but we trusted in it, and this is what's happened. And so as we look through that, then this thing we realize as we go to God and crave him to of salvation, as we come to him, we find him, we taste of his kindness, and then this amazing thing happens. As we join together, he begins infilling us with his Holy Spirit, right? And we become the body of Christ, who now becomes the temple of God. And not only that, we become the priests of God, and we carry the Holy Spirit with us. I mean, that is a plan that is over the top. But that is the plan for everyone who follows Jesus. Now, when we, and what we do, who we are and what we do, we understand God's goodness. We're people who result is we show other people God's goodness. We receive his mercy so we can give his mercy. We are built and coming together, we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. So, in that imagery, there's three key foundational things that everyone in this room should have a part of their plan for their life. That is talked about all through Scripture, but really a great visual image of this one. And that's what the goals for 2018. So I'm going to give you three, and you're going to say, oh, I know that. That's what you'll say at first. But think about them a little more. These are foundational. And if these are not in place, you'll find your plans going to nothing. You'll find you're working at the wrong things, you know. So first off, understanding that God has a plan, and the way we understand it, and crying out for his salvation, right? That's how it starts. And when we do that, he attracts us to himself, and here's the first thing. Your relationship with Jesus has to be above everything else. And I know we say that all the time. You say, yeah, Dave, I know that. Right? But I'm telling you, this is the struggle of humanity. This is what is keeping people from experiencing this plan that God has for them, is they still do not see Jesus above all else. They don't see him as the cornerstone, right? Now, in a room like this, you probably aren't the people who stumble over Jesus and disregard him and wish he wasn't there. There are people who have rejected Jesus in that way, right? I would say, most of you here say, I love Jesus deeply. But here's what I'm saying. It's real important to understand that it's really tempting to have Jesus as a very important stone and not the cornerstone. Because it only works because everything's aligned to that. And so we, for our plans to succeed, our starting point has to be, I need Jesus as above all else. And that's why we see. And the reason I repeat it so much is Scripture repeats it so much. It's over and over. It's in Old Testament, New Testament. God above all else. Seek first the kingdom of God and then those things. Love God, the Lord your God, first above all else. You know, it's just everywhere. And the reason it is because that's the way it works. If you really want to experience a plan that's not just your plan to come up, this is essential, all right? And so the second is, love and rely on God's family. Again, something that I'm guessing isn't brand new to you if you've been in this church. But if you, this imagery, I love it because these stones are being attracted by the cornerstone, but they end up being placed right in among all the other stones. You know what I mean? It's like, it's very much, it's like what in America we want to be our own stone filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't really want to be so close to everybody like that, right? And what he's saying is for this, for your the path for your life to be accomplished, you cannot do it by yourself. For you, for God to come through you, for God to accomplish these things that are over the top, more than you could possibly imagine, you need one another. You need to embrace the church. You need to be a spot where you begin going deeper and deeper levels with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And we see that again throughout Scripture. You know, as a pastor, I have heard this phrase. I mean, I can't tell you how many times this phrase, because I'm, you know, people get honest with me. I'm pretty real. I kind of push into them. And they usually say something like this: David, I love Jesus. I just don't love church. I just hate the church. I love Jesus. And I understand, I empathize with that, but I also realize it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Where Jesus says, if you love me, you love my body. You love one another. It's the package deal. And it's not just because we have to. It's because life comes through that. Our plans can't not be accomplished independently. That's the whole understanding of this picture is that we become part of the household. We become part of the family, all right? And the third is this: be a full-time minister looking and responding to what the Spirit's instruction is, all right? Again, something that's not new to you if you've been in this church for long. But I'm just telling you, these three things are essential, and this is a real important one. The whole reason this is happening is so a temple can be built and priests can be released. And that is us. There's no way around it. We are the temple of God. We are the people who the Holy Spirit dwells within. As crazy as that may sound, that's where God has chosen to dwell. And we are people set apart who've experienced undeserved favor and grace and the kindness of God to pass it on to other people. And understanding that is recognizing that we get to be ministers. Talk about an over-the-top plan. We get to actually minister directly to God just like the priest did by coming to him, responding to him, acknowledging him, worshiping him, honoring him, obeying. We get to bring pleasure to him. We get to actually minister to God. And we get to minister to the people around us. Now, those are things that whatever you're planning in 2018, these have to be at the foundation of your plan. Because these are this is what's so clear in Scripture is what this part of God's plan is very clear. And then you work off of that and say, God, show me specifically what this is going to look like for me. Show me how this would play out. And that could look quite differently, right? You know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm old, and I know it's hard to believe. I keep reminding you of that, and you keep laughing because I look so young. But I am old. I'm getting older. And Debbie and I talk in terms like when we're going to die now. Like, should we take a vacation? Well, when are we going to die? You know, that's how we talk. It's insane. I don't know if that's right or morbid or what, but we know that, you know, when I was 40, I didn't think about dying, you know. But when I'm 60, I'm thinking, wow, 60, man, what's the average life? Ooh, that didn't look good. So the reality of it is we're thinking that way. And here's what I what would break my heart is on my deathbed I would look back over my life and I realize I've been working the wrong plan all this time. That what I've been pouring my time and energy and money to goes to the grave with me and doesn't go to eternity with me. You know what I mean? There's nothing that rattles me more than thinking that. And it challenges me. And we have to be people who understand that eternity is real. And the plans that God has for us are something that brings life to us now. and takes us into eternity. They don't die with us. They're those things that prosper us, that give us a hope and a future. They're the things that are immeasurable that we couldn't have possibly imagined, and there wouldn't have ever been a plan that we came up with. But we would look back, and I'm saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, that you overrode my plans, and I allowed you to do it, because your plans are so much better than anything I could possibly come up with. And so you don't have to be morbid like me and think about dying all the time, but do think about what is important. What will matter? What will you say, oh, I am so glad I poured my life into that. I made intentional choices towards that. I so am glad that, and it's so much better than I imagined. So here's a challenge for the time that the worship team can come up. And it's really just reflecting on these things, taking some time. There's a lot I've thrown at you. Taking some time to just look at those three areas and be reflective and think about them. And then ask God, in knowing that this is going to be the foundation of your plan, saying, okay, as I look at these three things, God, show me what specific plans, the unique way, the kind of garden you want me to plant, the way you're designed me to be, how will that look for me? Like, what are you doing right now in 2018? It may focus on one or the other, but he knows the plans he has for you, and he wants to show them to you. But we, on that basis, we say, now show me what that will look like. What will it look like, God? How do I put you first above all things? How do I start going to places of connecting into the family more than I am and being a part of the body of Christ? And how do I become the holy priest that you say I am? I'm struggling with that, right? How do I do that? Because I know that will take me to your plan. All right? Would you stand?